We want to thank one of our partners, UCAN. It is fuel that is made with a superstarch that will help your gut get through a long training run.
And if you use it as fuel, you can do it because it gives you that constant energy flow. Scott, but the flavor, the taste, the bar, eating the bar is like coming home for a treat. Whether I'm running or not, I love that stuff. It tastes so good.
They have this new gel pack, too, that is very convenient and easy to use while you're out on the trail. We love UCAN. Hey, also, Matt Bach, who's the director of endurance athletics at UCAN, did a guest blog post on trailrunnernation.com on how to fuel properly for long endurance runs. So go check that out.
And whether you're drinking it or eating it for fuel or energy, great taste, or performance, it's the place to go.
You can get 20% off by going to ucan.co/TRN. Enter the code TRN20 and get that 20% off.
Sometimes it rains on your birthday. Sometimes gas goes up a buck a gallon. And sometimes on your out and back, you're only running uphill. And that stinks.
And Native cares about your stink. They want to stop it the right way. The Native difference.
And we have for years, Scott, Native deodorant is right inside our own medicine cabinet. We love the scents. We love the way that it works. Native deodorant, aluminum-free, paraben-free, and with more than 15,000 five-star reviews, Scott and I aren't the only ones that love it. You should try it too.
I'm using the charcoal right now, Freeman, and I love that deodorant. Now they have a broad spectrum of SPF 30 sunscreen for your face and your body. It's lightweight, it absorbs quickly, and it comes in two scents, unscented or coconut, and pineapple.
If you want to get your Native deodorant or sunscreen, go to nativedeo.com/trail or put trail in at checkout to get your 20% off. It's not just deodorant, it's Native deodorant.
Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Scott Warr.
And I'm Don Freeman. And today's a bit of a different show, Scott. We have some amazing news, some great guests, and why don't you lay it out for us a bit here?
We have a very special show with some remarkable guests today. Why is this a special show? Here's the news. UTMB, the famous ultra trail race in Chamonix, France, just announced today that they're partnering with Ironman, the international triathlon and racing company.
And because Don and I really are just hack runners, we don't understand what that all means. And so we've invited some really special guests. Some of them have been on the show multiple times, some of them for the first time. And we want to introduce those people so you know who's on the show and what role they're going to play here.
Let's start with Michel Pelletti. He's one of the founders of the UTMB race, along with his wife, Catherine. Prior to that, he ran a technology company and organized an international hang gliding contest in Chamonix. He is an avid trail runner and for many years would run the 121-mile TDS race with a radio so we could also both race and help manage the race during the event. He lives in Chamonix, France. Welcome to the podcast and welcome to the discussion, Michel.
Hello, thank you for welcoming me, and you will enjoy some French accents.
Wonderful. We welcome accents on this show, and it'll help us keep track because we have a lot of people on this call, Scott.
Our next guest that is going to shed some light on this has been on our show many, many times. She is one of the coaches when we do Ask the Coaches, and that's Chrissy Mayle. She's a Patagonia-sponsored trail runner. She won the first edition of the UTMB way back in 2003. So the first time they ran the race, she won it. Then she came back in 2009 and won it again. She's the author of Running Your First Ultra. You can find out more about Chrissy at chrissymayle.com. That'll be in the show notes, Freeman, in case you forgot that URL. And she joins us from Bellingham, Washington.
I guess I'll say hello. And I got to run that first UTMB, spending a few of the nighttime hours with Michelle. So we go back a long ways.
Fantastic. And next up is Hilary Girardet, who has set a course record around the world on highly technical sky races. She recently established a woman's record on the Haute Route Ski from Chamonix, France to Zermatt, Switzerland. She's a sponsored athlete by Black Diamond, originally from Vermont, and now lives in Chamonix full-time now and joins us from there. Welcome, Hilary, and it's nice to have you and your perspective on this podcast, so we welcome your participation.
Hey, everyone. I'm really psyched to be here and to be chatting with you all today. And sort of as someone who has actually not run one of the UTMB races, but living in Europe for the last 10 years, can hopefully shed a little bit of light on our experience here.
Thank you very much, Hillary.
Next, we have Brian Metzler. He's been on the podcast a couple different times. One, to brag about how many pairs of shoes he has. And the second one, to tell us about how he runs with a burro. If you haven't listened to that podcast, that is a fun podcast about burro racing. He is one of the founders of Trail Runner Magazine and continues as a contributing editor. He's also the co-author of an upcoming book on trail running and writes for numerous magazines and websites. He joins us from Boulder, Colorado.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me back. And yeah, we can talk about donkey racing whenever you want, but excited to talk about UTMB and this new news and hopefully get over to Chamonix and run there again.
Hey, Brian, just so you know, we'll just quash the rumor right now. UTMB is not starting a burro race portion race for UTMB series. So just so you know.
Well, that's unfortunate, but maybe not yet. Maybe that'll be in the future.
There may be changes coming. Hey, Scott, let me introduce Adam Chase, and he's the president of the American Trail Running Association and captain and manager of the Brooks Off-Road Running Team and co-author of The Ultimate Guide to Trail Running. He joins us from Boulder, Colorado, where he practices law when he's not trail running. Hey, Adam, welcome.
Thanks a lot, Don. I'm pretty small, so people just kind of glance past me.
Oh, you've got a good camera because I saw you at about 6'3" in this image. So well done.
Hey, but I have more shoes than Brian. Just so you
know. Sure. It's a competition in Boulder, Colorado, right? Hey, before we dive in, we want to let you know that we'll be following up on this topic at a brand new forum on ultrasignup.com. To share your thoughts, go to community.ultrasignup.com and click on the Trail Runner Nation link there, and we'll be able to join you and answer questions and discuss this further on that forum.
Scott, to you, as we were thinking about and strategizing this episode, you ask a very good question, and I don't want to steal it from you, and I'm just going to... And
usually I steal your questions.
I know, but it's time for me to turn this question over to you.
Michelle, there's a lot of history behind UTMB. I'm interested, how did you get into trail running? And then how did that evolve into this massive, beautiful race that you've created, these series of races that you've created?
In 2000, I discovered that running in the mountains was not only what we call mountain running with quite short races. But it was the time in Europe, in France, to have some long, very long races. At this time, I had not a clue about 100 miles in the United States, but it was just the beginning of ultra running in Europe and especially in France. And so I tried several races in 2000, 2001, 2003, and we traveled a lot with Catherine. And each time we were coming back in Chamonix, we were saying, oh, could be amazing to have a race all around the Mont Blanc. But we knew that it was just a huge job. And at the same time, there was just in the 90s, there was a relay race all around the Mont Blanc. And this race stopped because of a big accident in the Tunnel du Mont Blanc, with the tunnel who joined Chamonix, France, to Courmayeur, Italy. And because of this big accident, it was impossible to go through the tunnel. And this old race stopped for 3 years. And in 2002, this race has not been able to restart, to be reorganized. And I was in a running club in Chamonix with several other people, friends of mine. And we said, okay, it's a pity to have this race being canceled, and maybe we can do something. And it's time to go for a new concept, for a new individual race all around the Mont Blanc. And that's why we made this decision to create the Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc.
Hey, Chrissy, can you give us a little taste of how you came to know about UTMB and how did you get entered in the first race?
Oh, it's such a sweet story. It's way back when, 2003. Actually, it's really great to see everybody's face on here. I'm so excited that you guys involved me in this. I wanted to say thanks for that and nice to meet you, Hillary. You're the new one for me. Maybe we can share some time in Shaman. All of us. I like that idea, Brian. But back to that 2003, I was actually just married at the time, and this was our honeymoon to get to go to Chamonix, France, and run around the Tour de Mont Blanc. I had not run 100 miles yet, so it was this big endeavor. It was also the year that France endured that crazy heat wave, and we went over there with, you know, our lightweight running coats, and I don't even think I had a pair of gloves. This was long before the UTMB kit was a requirement. And that weekend, this crazy storm came in, and the race in their first year had to negotiate all these changes. They changed the course, made it 5K shorter to avoid go. Do you remember all this, Michelle? Of course you do. Going over one of the summits early in the event to avoid being super exposed during the heart of the storm. And I'd been to France before, but not to Chamonix. And we arrived really late at night. And I remember waking up the next morning and just like my neck couldn't crane enough to see out the window and up and up and up to the top of this beautiful massif. So again, pretty sweet, magical experience to get to go over there.
And let's not forget that not only did she go and enjoy this great race, but she won it. And another, correct me if I'm wrong, Chrissy, but of the, I think there were 700 initial runners, maybe Michelle, you can correct me, 700 runners, 10% finished, 67 people finished. Chrissy was one of them, and she made it to the top of the podium at that race in 2003.
It was also a very different setup that year. They ran the event. Everybody started together in the heart of Chamonix. And that, if there is a distinction between that event and any race I had ever done in the States up to that point, and I would say since, is to have the streets lined with people cheering you on. It didn't, that one we started early in the morning, if I remember correctly. And you wouldn't have even known it. Like the race starts in the evening now, and maybe that makes more sense that people are enjoying happy hour and want to see what's going on with these crazy people dressed in Lycra. But that event started early in the morning, and you got to choose where to stop as you went around. And I just say I'm so stubborn that I just made it all the way around.
Hey, and let's kind of paint a picture, if you will, of the magnitude of UTMB. Brian, you've been over there a number of times. I've heard that this tiny town of Chamonix grows to a massive metropolitan. I mean, 80,000 people show up to this race. Tell us a little bit about your experience being over there, what, 8-9 times?
Yeah, thank you. I've been over there several times to cover the races as a journalist. I actually first heard about it from Chrissy. I think maybe after she got back, I think we were at the trade show in Salt Lake City, and she was like, oh, you got to write about this. And I was like, what? And, you know, she's like, oh, there's people all over the streets. And so super exciting to hear. At the time, you know, trail running was just becoming a more international kind of focused sport. A lot of continents had their own kind of championships and such. There was some international running, but certainly this was the first of the new kind of modern international kind of races for trail running. And so, but hearing about it and talking to people like Topher Gaylord and Nico Marmoud paled in comparison to once I got there. I had first visited Chamonix in a normal time when there was nobody, you know, it was a typical summer weekend, and I got to run the course from town to town to town. But when I came back for the race, it was crazy. I mean, like, this is trail running, and like, in America, trail running isn't, you know, what wasn't a thing back then. And it's certainly a thing now, but not to that scale. I mean, certainly running through these beautiful mountain towns and such, it blew me away at the participation from the local communities, from the local people, how excited they were about runners, you know. And in the United States, you know, at the best trail races, there might be a couple hundred people, and you rarely get spectators outside of family and support crew. So yeah, certainly to see that kind of, to witness that kind of spectacle initially, and then certainly to be compelled to go back, certainly speaks to the magnitude of the event relative to the sport and international running.
And Brian, this is not just a 100-mile race around Mont Blanc through France, Italy, and Switzerland. This has evolved into a festival, a week-long six-race festival. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's a good point. When I used to arrive as a journalist in the first couple of years, I'd arrive on Thursday for the Friday to Saturday race. And in the last bunch of years, I've typically arrived on the Sunday before and stayed all week because there's so much going on. There's certainly a lot of athletes, a lot of brands there, running shoe brands. There's film festivals. There's pre-race events and parties, and certainly the spectacle of chasing the race from town to town is super fun. You see so many people on the course kind of watching and cheering from around the world. You know, it's a really fascinating thing, and certainly getting through the tunnel and going to Courmayeur and, you know, just, you know, getting all the way around. It's fun to kind of watch it, to chase it, but it's also certainly great to run it. I have not run the UTMB, but I've run CCC and the OCC. I really want to do the PTL if I can find a good partner. And then also, you know, the new race a couple of years ago, the OCC, sounds like quite the locals kind of party and stuff. So I want to do that one too.
Adam.
Yeah. So I saw Brian's first trip from reading his write-up about it and was quite jealous and said, I got to get over there. I had actually been there once as a adventure racer. They did a raid race where we circumnavigated Mont Blanc, but I wanted to go over and run it and got to go to OCC on a trip with Brian and then have gone back every year since. It's pretty addictive. The whole scene just, it's so much momentum and everyone's just thriving there. And from every country, I mean, it's just amazing. All the different accents. And the only thing in common is, well, two things. Everyone is really fit and they're also wearing a lot of Lycra.
Hillary, you had something to add as well.
Yeah, I was just going to jump in and say that, so I do live in Chamonix. I've been living here for 4 years and I've been in France for 10 years. And I can definitely attest to the fact, you know, we oftentimes will make the comparison between racing in Europe versus racing in the U.S. And I think that there is a lot of that, you know, with races bringing bigger crowds, both spectators and people participating. But I can certainly, living here, attest to the fact that, you know, Chamonix is a mountain town, and throughout the summer, you'll see some runners and you'll see folks, you know, a lot of people with mountain climbing equipment. And then suddenly you're like, there is no mistake when it's UTMB week because it is trail runner central.
Chrissy.
I just wanted to add back, as a race director, that magnitude of enthusiasm and everything created over there, like as a stateside race director where you're fighting to get permits and have people come join, or can you close down this street for a little bit? That was just such a different experience, seeing it from the race director's eyes. And one more thing that I just remembered is running through the streets in 2009 and like high-fiving people 6 feet deep and just being in awe of the whole experience.
I think we can understand why this is a big news. When you get two big things coming together, UTMB, and congratulations to you and your team, Michelle, you've created something that's noteworthy and newsworthy to talk about. And then you bring on Ironman, and we know that our cousins over there in the triathlon world, they celebrate Ironman as their Kona, their big thing. And so when you have two big things come together, it makes for big news. It kind of reminds me of that commercial, and Michelle, not fair to you, because you probably didn't get hit with it in the 70s, but when you get peanut butter in your chocolate, or you got chocolate on my peanut butter, I feel like we've collided these two monster organizations, and I'm just going to come out and ask, you know, Michelle, why? What was lacking? Why did you see this as necessary? And then I'm going to encourage the guests to be co-hosts as well and interject their questions and comments. So because Scott and I are running out of our depth here. Why did you see this as necessary? And what's your vision?
Since very, very early, I think since 2005, 2006, we were already thinking about something international. I said that I'm still a cross-country skier, and in the cross-country ski world, you have the Worldloppet with the gathering of the big races in the world. Vasaloppet and Trans-Jurassien in France and other races in maybe 50 countries. And very soon we were thinking about creating a kind of gathering all the big races in the world, the most beautiful races in the world. But it was just the beginning, and as time was going on, and we arrived in 2012 when Skyrunning was the first to create an international circuit. It was indeed a very good idea, and it was time for us to move. And that's why we made the decision to create Ultra Trail World Tour as the gathering of the best races in the world. And we were not alone to manage Ultra Trail World Tour, but Ultra Trail World Tour was born in Chamonix in the UTMB office in the mind of Catherine and Michel. And we did our best to develop this circuit. And at the same time, we were not completely happy, and we were not completely happy with several things, not being able to be able to create and to develop the circuit as well as we wanted the circuit to be. And yes, we wanted this circuit to be the perfection, and it was good, but it was not the best it was possible to do. And that's why also in 2016, we created UTMB International with the idea to bring the quality of UTMB Mont Blanc to other races and to help organizers who wanted to help them to develop very very beautiful, very powerful events of trail running, and not only just a race, but a real event in trail running with a lot of passion, emotion, and so on. We arrive at a point where we needed to make all these things more consistent. The mistake we did was to create Ultra Trail World Tour on one hand, and on the other hand to create Bayou Timbé races. But we needed to make just one thing with all of this, and we spent a lot of time to think about this. We made a first move in 2019, 2 years ago, but it was not enough. And at that time, we already began to talk with Ironman, to talk with Andrew Messick and Mathieu Van Veen, because Ironman bought a race in Australia, Ultra Trail Australia, in 2017. They bought also Tarawera in New Zealand in 2018. And so they were part of Ultra Trail World Tour, and they were part of the meetings of Ultra Trail World Tour. And then we began to talk with them, and we spent a lot of time to talk with them. They were interested by buying us, we were not interested to sell UTMB Mont Blanc, and but we still wanted to do the best circuit in the world. Talking with them, taking time to know them better, taking time to understand that triathlon is not trail running. They can be able at Ironman, they can be able to run triathlon in a fantastic way. But at the same time, they really understand that trail running is not exactly the same. It's not exactly the same values. It's not exactly the same way to manage as well regular runner or elite runners. And at the end of the day, we decided last year to join our forces and to create all together, Ironman and the Ironman group and UTMB group, to create one circuit to be the best circuit in the world.
I bring this up to anybody on the call that wants to address this. There's going to be an influence or a change because of this intersection of the giant Ironman and then also the giant UTMB and the trail running scene. Do you think there's going to be a change in the community? Do you think there's going to be some type of effect that will Ironman put an influence on our trail? Do you think the trail will bleed over into the Ironman, or do you think there'll be independent and be able to stay in their own lane, in their own silo as the relationship develops? Does anybody have a thought on that, Adam?
There's going to be more Lycra.
Well, yeah. So invest soon.
Because Brian and I have been to Kona together, and I mean, you see much more Lycra there than you do at UTMB, and it's surprising. There has to be some change. And I guess I want to ask one question that Michelle said was, that Ironman wanted to buy, and UTMB did not want to sell. So I'm curious why, for one, and two, I'm just curious about things like cost of races that will be qualifiers and cost to participants. And because obviously this has to be, has to be some business incentive here. So I'm just curious what will happen to costs, and also associated with that, prize money for some of the runners.
So let's take those two questions. There's two separate questions. One, Michelle, why did you decide not to sell to Ironman?
Just because we created UTMB with Catherine 18 years ago, because we have the chance to work with our children who are completely involved in our company, because it's more a question of passion than a question of business, and we wanted just to go on and to pass the baton to our children, just like this. And yes, we it's just the question to create something and to continue to be in, and not to sell it because you have just the opportunity. We received a several offer or others company, and the answer has always been the same. No, we are not interested. We want to. We just want to continue to go on, and to have our family. And yes, it's a family. It's a family story.
And then the second question, Adam, if I can paraphrase, is, what is this going to do for qualifying or point races? In order, if you decide you wanted to get into one of the UTMB races, How do these qualifying races, how will that change? Are the race fees going to go up? Or is it going to be harder to get into? How does that look?
This question is related with a question of too many people wanting to enter UTMB Mont Blanc. We were in front of a wall 2 or 3 years ago by having despite the qualifying points, despite the fact that a runner needed 15 qualifying points, a lot of qualifying points, we had more than 30,000 people who registered for the lottery 3 years ago, despite a huge amount of qualifying points. So we were in a wall, and we needed to make a move to figure out a solution to this problem. And that's why 2 years ago, we put in place the Running Stones, giving the possibility of a kind of fast track, an easier access for people who was running Ultra Trail World Tour or by UTMB races. But at the same time, we kept the qualifying points, and we realized that it was really too complicated. And the move this year with UTMB World Series is to have a simpler system, and just to ask people, you can run all the races in the world, will be happy to remain UTMB World Series qualifiers. This will give you an advantage to enter in the UTMB World Series events, and only if you run in a UTMB World Series event, getting at least one running stone, you will be able to enter the lottery of Mont Blanc. So it's just a matter to offer to all the runners a more simple system to enjoy the best races in the world, because there are many other reasons why we decided to launch UTMB World Series event, but at the same time also to find a way to get to the final in a comprehensive and simpler way.
We had a couple of questions coming up. Brian, you had one, and Hillary, you had one, and I'm not sure where they're both still relevant, so I'll leave it to you two to arm wrestle overseas there to see which question's appropriate at this time. Brian?
Yeah, sure. I was going to add what Adam was saying. I mean, certainly there's a different stereotype of kind of participant in these sports. And I think that certainly, yeah, spandex and kind of high level type A and the Ironman side, and then obviously more earthy, easygoing, you know, trail running, you know, baggy shorts kind of thing on the other side. But I think that certainly the events dictate kind of how you depict yourself. I mean, I think certainly in Ironman, there is this focus on yourself and this individual aspect. Whereas I think the beauty of the UTMB is more about the community and the culture, and then running with, you know, like ultra running, running is part of the earth, you know, running over the mountains and the trails. And I think you feel much more of a community, having done both events, many, you know, different on both sides, you feel much more of a community in trail running. And so it'll certainly be interesting how those two types of groups kind of mix. And you know, they aren't hard and fast or absolute stereotypes, but certainly there is more of a you know, that intense me on the Ironman side, and there's more of a community both at UTMB and all trail running races. So I'm curious as to kind of how that'll evolve.
I think actually that is a great intro in some ways to the question and sort of comments that I had. One of the values, I think, of trail running, and certainly one that is has kind of been highlighted in this press release and this announcement, is the idea of inclusivity. And I think I know that there are still going to be some races to be announced and added to the list, but I can't help but notice that right now there's nothing announced in the Americas, for example. And when we're trying to think about inclusivity, I'm thinking about all of my American runners, for example, when I've raced in the Skyrunner World Series, who, in order to get to any of these races, are having to take, you know, a week or weeks off from work to get to these events. It's a pretty big commitment financially, and of course as well, ecologically speaking, to be traveling all over the world. And so I'm curious about given sort of this new format, how are we going to, or how is the organization going to be, you know, sort of putting an emphasis on that inclusivity and making sure that, you know, sort of more people, maybe a more diverse group of people could be participating?
Yeah, I can answer to this question and as well to Brian. United States is really at the center of our system. It's not easy, and I think you perfectly know that it's not easy for a French company to develop something in the USA. And at the same time, USA are the country where trail running was born a lot, maybe 50 years ago. And we saw that in Ultra Trail World Tour, the growth of Ultra Trail World Tour in United States was, we are very, very happy to have a Western state with us in Ultra Trail World Tour, and we hope to keep the Ultra Trail the Western States involved in any manner in the UTMB World Series, and to find a way to have still the oldest and the premium race of Western States involved with us. But at the same time, we were missing very strong and races in the USA, and it's part also of our decision to partner with Ironman to think that it will be easier for them to develop the sport in the US than for us from France, and that's part of our decision to partner with them.
I have a question. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michel.
Just to add that, indeed, in the press release, we are speaking of just 8 races because it's the by UTMB races and it's the 3 races owned by Ironman. But it's just the beginning. We are now we can't disclose it, but we are talking with many other races in the world. Including in the United States, but we are not ready to disclose this information right now.
I really liked your question, Hillary, because it really speaks to the point of, does this bring the globe together as a trail community, or does it provide a separation? Does the ocean become the barrier? Points gathering become a barrier? Does the community, culture, all of the things, a complex discussion to have here. But what do we think as a group here, that gives Michelle a bit of a break from always being on the spot, what do we think about this development and how it can affect the everyday runner that's maybe standing in the middle of Iowa or the middle of Italy? You know, what does our world look like? Is this a change maker? What do you guys think?
We're going to take a short break in our discussion about UTMB to talk about a new partner. BOA Fit System is bringing their innovative lacing system to trail running, allowing you to perform at your peak with increased connectivity and control. Dan Feeney, manager of biomechanics research and an avid runner at BOA, is with us today. Dan, tell us a little bit more about the BOA Fit System.
We at BOA are trying to revolutionize how shoes fit. So you might be familiar with us in other areas like snowboarding and cycling. We've come to trail running really strong, and we have some exciting launches like the La Sportiva Cyclone coming out, where we're trying to replace the traditional youth rope. We're wrapping the foot, trying to provide a little bit more conformity and proprioception to the athlete that allows for athletes to get this nice, even closure. So they get this dialed in, locked in, and connected fit.
We want to share this technology with you, the nation. BOA Fit and La Sportiva have partnered to give away 10 pair of the La Sportiva Cyclone with the BOA Fit system. You can enter by going to boafit.com/TRN and enter to win. We'll be giving away 10 pair in mid-July.
And now back to the show with our UTMB guests and this big reveal. What does our world look like? Is this a change maker? What do you guys think?
think that certainly if you look at the course of kind of running the way it's grown, and we know that, you know, it's gone from, you know, the first running boom to doing a marathon, and then it became doing, you know, half marathons and other races. And then lately, you know, obviously, well, Ironman propped up, and but so did adventure races and obstacle races. I think that certainly there's a notion that ultra running is growing right now, because it's like the next frontier, the next destination, even though a lot of us have been around the sport for a long time. It's reached, you know, near mainstream appeal, where people who've done a marathon, I was like, okay, what's next? You know, I think that certainly running on roads through a big city is a lot of fun and really a great challenge. I do think that running a marathon all out is the purest challenge in human sport. But I do think that there are other aspects aside from that performance aspect that you can find in trail running that people really adhere to. And so certainly pushing yourself much farther to do ultra runs, to do mountain runs, to do things that maybe most runners haven't considered, I think is certainly a compelling aspect to growing the sport this way. I think that, you know, we've seen Ironman grow, and that's you know, probably still a healthy sport. I think that trail running and ultra running, though, are certainly probably the most the fastest growing endurance sport right now. And so I think a lot of people see and feel like this next chance or this next endeavor, next adventure in this. And I think that'll be the greatest takeaway from all this, if we can get more people to be inspired to do this.
Adam.
Yeah, I kind of playing on what Brian has said. And it's funny, Chrissy and I were on gave a talk, gosh, I guess it was 4 years ago, about the different generations of ultra running, and how I was the second generation, Chrissy was the third. And I think we're now on, like, Hillary's probably fifth generation, and we're on to sixth even. Like, there's some young ones coming up. And I think to the American, let's say, fourth and fifth generation, this partnership between Ironman and UTMB is probably not even on their radar, because they're probably racing locally. And I don't know if anyone saw, but there was an announcement today from ITRA, but basically talking about kind of the vacuum that was created by COVID, and how now everyone's kind of coming alive and wanting to hit the trails, and how it's becoming everyone's sort of therapy, if you will. And it's also becoming very inclusive, to play on what Hillary was asking about. So I think in the US, it's really just about getting out and recreating, and not even so much racing. And that's where I think UTMB is kind of the pinnacle of, well, if you check all of these boxes, then you can go and do this race overseas. That is the grand championship.
Hillary, you had a comment.
I did have a comment. Thank you. I was, you know, listening to what Adam was saying, and I think that he's absolutely right. You know, during this pandemic, a lot of people have been seeing, you know, trail running as a way to sort of recenter themselves, get outside, reconnect with nature. And I think that that's something, you know, that a lot of us are feeling and experiencing. And I just had, you know, one question, and maybe, you know, informed by my very personal convictions, but I did notice that there is a commitment to raising awareness about environmental issues. And I wanted just to know a little bit about your perspective on that, because as an athlete who has traveled a lot and has been questioning a lot my choices around traveling, there is a huge environmental impact to traveling and to having, you know, big events going off as well. I know that's something that UTMB thinks about locally, is the impact on the environment, but I saw that it jumped out to me right away in the press release that it was going to be an opportunity to talk about environmental issues.
It's another big question. It's another big reason of the move we are making with UTMB World Series. Talking of Ultra Trail World Tour, as well of talking of UTMB by UTMB races, we were on the way just to encourage runners to run how much our races as they could, and we saw some runners flying to Ushuaia and then flying to Oman and then flying to China just to run our races. And we don't want to go on like this. We really want to calm down the question and to not to say not to travel, because traveling, I had the chance to travel in USA, in Australia, in China, and travels are the best thing, I think, for people to know each other and to be tolerant with the others. But at the same time, it's not possible anymore just to travel every 2 months for just a race and to come back at home just after the race. So we really want to give the opportunity to all the people on the globe to find close to their home a very, very wonderful race, a fantastic race, with the highest quality that we can imagine, just in your country, close to you, and to have a choice once a year, maybe twice a year, to travel. Can be travel for UTMB Mont Blanc, but as well travel for a big race in United States or in China, but not every time.
Here's, you know, as I've read the press release, and I'm trying to digest it from my point of view, because I'm a very selfish person. But as I think of this, I think, okay, what is this for the vast majority of the people that are listening to this podcast? What does this mean to me? Is my local race going to change? Is my culture, my values of the trail, is this partnership going to somehow change that? Is the big race that I've been running every year for the last 6 years, is that going to be gobbled up by Ironman? And now the race fee is double the fee, and I have to wear Lycra and maybe I have to swim across a river before I finish the trail race. What do you guys think? I'd like, Chrissy, what do you think?
You're getting at this thought that's been in my head. And I was really, I'm kind of going back to where Adam was having that conversation about the generational piece of the sport. And I was so psyched to see Hillary that my brain got that comment. I thought that was great to bring up and really address and hold Michelle's feet to the fire. I think that's important for all of us to keep thinking about. And likewise, I mean, my passport is full. So I am definitely of the thinking of bringing everybody together. To that point, Scott, is like when I got into the sport of trail running, we all line up together, like elites, it didn't matter. And that's always been such a cool vibe. And like that happens in, it still happened in Chamonix in 2009. Maybe the elites got to be like pulled to the front a little bit, but you're all there on the same starting line. So to get to that point of how do we keep that alive amidst this huge merger? And I wrote a little message earlier that I can feel my like old heels digging in, like I want to keep this sport alive. So that would be my resistance, is how, that's just a simple example of a lot of things that add to what ultra running means to me.
I have a concern for the small races, not just in the US, but especially in the US, because that's something I know through American Trail Running Association. But these race directors, and I've been on quite a few calls with them, they're struggling because they haven't had any revenue, and they had huge outlays for canceled races that really they had to just take it. And I know, Chrissy, you're a race director, and you've probably seen a lot of that. And now it'll be very interesting to see what happens between Ironman and UTMB, because I've seen it in the magazine world that Brian and I know still well. That when these entities are hurting, they're also easily purchased. And this could be a very wonderful, opportune time if you had a lot of cash. You could look at it two different ways: acquire all of these small races and or squash them by your having a big race, or you could also throw them a lifesaver and give them some cash that they need and have them join forces with Ironman and UTMB. So there's different ways of looking at it, but this is an opportune time, one way or the other, just because COVID created a vacuum. So it'll be interesting to see how it gets filled.
Michelle.
Some thoughts to share with you. In UTMB, we have the values that everybody came in Chamonix since 18 years know very well. And it's not because we are partnering with Ironman that we will lose these values. And that's why also the Politi family will be still involved in that story. I truly believe in all these values. And it's not because we want to create the best circuit in the world that we will lose these values. But we will see just in a couple of years if I was today saying the truth. But I really believe that. The other thing is that I think that we all know that the trail running is growing up very quickly, and there is room for anyone. I am still enjoying to run very small races in France or just off races, as well as big events. It's exactly what I did when I was a cross-country skier. I run with a lot of pleasure the Vasalopette, as well as over very little races. And I think it can be exactly the same in the trail running world, to have very big events with a lot of events, not just a race, just an event with all the things you can find on an event, with a lot of emotion, a lot of music, a lot of things, and as well as the true simple races that you have in the United States. I think that everything can still be.
Michelle, you say World Series, and that to me, it means something. Is there going to be a world champion in your vision that we could say, you know, the world champion of trail running this year is X? Are you going to be the platform for that? Do you envision that?
Yes. That's. Thank you for the question. It's another reason why we are launching UTMB World Series. Since many years, UTMB Mont Blanc is known as the informal world championship in the world. At the same time, we were running Ultra Trail World Tour with a title at the end of the year for the best runner in Ultra Trail World Tour. At the same time, Ironman in any way was on the way to create their own circuit. We are doing together. They wanted to develop themselves in the trail running, so they were going to organize their own circuit. We had last year Spartan creating their own circuit with a Trail World Championship title. And we have also the Federal World with ITRA, WMRA, with the help of World Athletics, who organized the original, the true, I think, World Championship. So at the end, we were going to have a kind of big mess in the trail running world. And we think that creating a single grid circuit with Ironman and having not a world championship, because we don't want to use this word, but to have just the UTMB World Series champion each year in the Mont Blanc at Chamonix, instead of having one for Ironman, one for Ultra Trail World Tour, and also the winner of UTMB. So we are gathering all these three things in just one. And so we think that we are making the sport more simple, but it will be up to the runners to to decide if we are right in that way.
So Michelle, three nonprofits just came together for a world championship in Thailand. Why is the Ironman and UTMB a better world champs?
It's not a question to be a better. It's just a question that in cycling, for example, you have Tour de France, the winner of the Tour de France, and you have also the winner of the World Championship. And so we can have two big competition and to have two kinds of winner, but not to have. We clearly made the decision not to use the world the word world champion. Mm-hmm. Just the question, but maybe you can compare the winner of UTMB World Series, so the winner of UTMB or CCC or OCC, as the winner of Tour de France.
Mm-hmm. Brian.
Yeah, I think all these concepts are interesting. I think certainly to clarify, I think, you know, to be an official running world championship, World Athletics is the world governing body of running. So formerly the IAAF. And then also I think for ultra running, I think it's the IAU, but that's kind of immaterial. I think what kind of is proposed here is, like, you know, Ironman's had their world championships for years. Xterra has, Spartan has. And I think that, you know, if we understand this as a kind of, a branded part of this series, I mean, you're basically taking all the best athletes potentially from all the different events and funneling them into one thing. And I think that part's pretty cool. I think that certainly for years, that was kind of what happened with Ironman, and you had regional qualifiers or points qualifiers or whatever. And that was exciting. I mean, I think for an age grouper like myself, as an age group lead, I was never going to, or haven't yet gotten close to qualifying, but I think it was always exciting about the urge and the desire to go to Kona and understand that in a bigger picture. And I think certainly, I think, you know, one of the things that I understand is, like, yeah, it's been impossible to get into the UTMB, and I'm not sure this will make it any easier, but certainly if there's a merit-based kind of qualifying and also the inspiration of doing regional events, I think there's a lot of good aspects there. And maybe the last thing on all those points is, I know people are probably listening going, oh my God, this is crazy. This is good for the sport. And I think that, you know, certainly trail running has evolved and emerged quite a bit in the last 20, 25 years. I mean, when we started Trail Runner Magazine in 1999, yeah, there was questions like, oh, what are you doing exposing all this stuff? And I think that, you know, generally the sport is still good and healthy and that community hasn't been lost. I know a lot of people thought the community would go away once it got bigger, but I think, you know, in measured optimism and kind of understanding kind of how some of this works, I think there's a lot of good things here. I think certainly, you know, people can be concerned, but I think that a lot of these things they're talking about are kind of a modernizing of the sport.
So I as I'm trying to digest this and trying to create a metaphor, you know, Don mentioned earlier that the Ironman triathletes are cousins of ours. They're endurance athletes. You know, they're trying to perform at their highest level for many, many hours. And so we have that in common. We have some blood lineage. But it's not like we're going to go spend weekends together, right? We'd rather be with our brothers and sisters, our trail brothers and sisters. And now with this announcement, we've been told that our cousin is now joining us on the trail, which is okay. I guess my question for you, Michelle, is with this partnership with Ironman, and I respect that that your family has said, no, we're not going to sell to Ironman. Is that a line in the sand, or in this partnership, is there an option for Ironman in 5 years to buy UTMB, and all of a sudden now our cousins are invited to all of the family reunions and we have to hang out with them?
They live with us. What are you talking about?
Okay, you can invite Andrew Messick and ask him the same question. No, it's not a line in the sand. It's just a real deeply, we deeply thought about this on both sides, on the politics family and on Ironman side, and we decided that we want to partner like this for a very long term. So no, it's not a question for Ironman to buy UTMB Group in a couple of years. And You said that Ironman athletes are our cousins, but you don't want to spend a weekend with them. Ironman is running not only a triathlon, they are also running a rock and roll marathon, they are running also cycling events. It's a way for them to develop the major company in endurance sport in the world. It's a way for them to develop their business. But once again, it will be UTMB World Series. It will be only the brand UTMB in this circuit. And we are ready to welcome triathletes on our races, but they will have to keep our way of thinking. They will have to keep our habits. We are not running UTMB World Series the same way as Ironman, as the Ironman group is running Ironman.
I'm very curious. So could you get a stone by doing Kona, let's say?
Sorry, I not understood.
Could you get a stone to qualify for UTMB by doing an Ironman competition race?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
And in the spirit of that great question, as we close this podcast, are there other questions that are pending that the co-hosts have that somehow Scott and I got in front of that you guys can express?
Chrissy.
Yeah.
Chrissy has one.
I just had a quick thought listening to all that about, like, we're all endurance athletes as a way of kind of maybe blurring the familial line a little bit. Like, trail runners were this, Ironman were that, but we're all endurance athletes. I guess maybe the resistance I'm feeling is kind of the business aspect that's being put on all of the athletes, and where the distinguish of what Ironman stands for and what UTMB stands for, and the curiosity between how those I'm picturing like this, like how that trickles down to all of the athletes that are amidst that, endurance athletes as a whole.
Hillary.
If I could actually sort of jump on what Chrissy was saying, I think what's interesting, right, in my experience of, for example, American runners coming to do races in Europe as well, there's a lot of times, you know, whether we're all family or not, a little bit of maybe a culture shock, and sometimes not quite. Like, even though we share something really big, which is trail running and the values of the sport, but there is, I've heard you guys say the word Lycra, you know, I don't know how many times over the course of this, but it's like, oh, whoa, you know, the Europeans wear tons of Lycra. And I sort of, like Chrissy is saying, am wondering about potential resistance that your everyday trail runner striving to do an ultra, dreaming to do these races might feel seeing that Ironman logo and saying, you know, oh, I can see myself trail running, but I don't see myself in Ironman.
Hmm. Any thoughts?
But once again, they will not see Ironman logo on UTMB races. You on the press release, as it's a business partnership. It's just normal to have both logos, the Ironman group and UTMB group. But once again, on UTMB World Series. Is only about the brand UTMB and the values of UTMB.
Adam.
Yeah, but people are going to have, on one calf, they're going to have an MDOT tattoo, and on the other calf, they're going to have the logo from UTMB. You're going to see that.
No, we'll see, but I think no.
Michelle, let's see your calf.
Was that part of the partnership, Michelle? Did you have to get an Iron Man tattoo on your leg?
No, absolutely no.
Hey, Hillary, what do you, you've digested this. We've had an hour long discussion. Any final thoughts or questions?
Thanks for giving me the opportunity. I think one of the things that I've thought a little bit about, and it is sort of in the same vein as what we were just talking about, but I remember Actually, I had the chance for the article that Doug Mayer wrote for Trail Runner magazine years ago. I had the opportunity to help him with an interview with Michelle because his French was kind of up and coming. And so I helped with the translation. But I remember very specifically one of the things that you said, Michelle, and that I thought a lot about is sort of, you know, we don't want to see a professionalization of the sport, right? We don't want it to go too far in terms of professionalization. And that had to do with maintaining community, not seeing tons of prize money. I'm just curious about, because when I think of Ironman, even if obviously visually the goal is to keep them separate, I think very professional. And I'm wondering about how your sort of vision of the professionalization of trail running and racing maybe has evolved and brought you to sort of creating this partnership.
Yes, the question when we talked about that, professionalization was about professionally having pro runners, not having a pro organization, because at UTMB we are a pro organization since a lot. I am evolving as well as everyone. Do we want pro runners, not on the same way that you have pro runners in triathlon or in other sports? But we don't want to make the rules. We just want to accompany the sport as well as we can. And for example, we are not ready to disclose what we will do about prize money, but it will not be a big revolution. For sure, we introduced prize money on UTMB Mont Blanc 3 years ago. And we will keep a kind of prize money, but something we want to make the elite athletes happy with what we can propose to them. So we want help them to travel. We want give them a prize money accordingly to what they expect. But we don't want to push the sport in the business by attracting runners with a lot of money. We don't want to do that. We just want to adapt ourselves to what the elite runners want. And they don't want right now in 2021 the same that they wanted 10 or 15 years ago. So just to say that we will adapt the rules to the sport, and we don't want to push too much in any way. So I think it's not too far from the answer that I gave you a couple of years ago.
Brian.
Yeah, I would probably maybe speak contrary to what Hillary said in all due respect, and I understand where she's coming from. I actually have thought for years there should be more professionalization and organization to some extent. You know, certainly does that mean we want to see big, huge sponsorships plastered all over the place? Yeah, I don't know. There's good and bad things of professionalism. I think that certainly I've been in favor of actually athletes getting prize money to some extent. Certainly there's a balance between that and kind of how much the race director is putting in. You know, there's not a lot of revenue. I get all that. It's a dollars and cents balance sheet kind of thing. But I do think that raising the level of the sport, getting more international competitions has been good for the sport overall. The challenge up until now, there's been a lot of small private races that are hard to get into. And so from one point of view, if you have a professional aspect of a structure, you might determine a better kind of competition. I know that it's Hard Rock and Western States are great, for example, but at the same time, any given year, the field is limited to this number of people and who gets in. And every year is like, oh, yeah, he's not in. Oh, she didn't get in. Oh, you know, he got in. So I think that certainly there's give and take on that. And so, you know, more organization, more structure, you know, as long as it's fair to all athletes. And I think, you know, I'd love to see more athletes benefit. I think that certainly this is their livelihood. And so there's already a lot of companies, Hoka and Brooks and Salomon and Raid Light, I mean, making a lot of money off trail running gear. So it's already happened to some extent, but I would love to see athletes benefit from that more.
Go ahead, Hillary.
Well, to be clear, I just wanted to say that I was not intending to express that I'm against professionalization in the sport as a professional athlete myself. That's not wasn't my suggestion, but it was going back to a conversation that I'd had with Michelle a few years ago and the position that he had forwarded. And so I was curious about how that might be articulated in the future. But thank you for clarifying that or inviting me to.
Adam,
yeah, and just playing on what Brian said and kind of supporting, I think one thing that this UTMB and Ironman partnership brings is that you're always comparing apples to oranges as to, you know, who won what, and if this works as kind of a, you know, World Series and World Championships, it would be nice to say we're actually comparing athletes to athletes, and in working with professional athlete runners, a lot of times they say, oh, you know, I just won this race and it's a local race. And I think, well, that's great, but it doesn't, you know, you don't stack up against anyone if you're just running a local race. And it's great from an environmental standpoint because you didn't have to travel, and certainly you're a member of your community and there's a lot of benefit to that. But one thing about winning UTMB is that you really do stand on top of the world. And that's what I think, you know, this partnership will make it that much more elevated, the same way that Kona is.
Yeah, Chrissy.
Yeah, playing on what Brian was saying, you brought up a point of like sponsorship of races. Sponsorship, when we got into this, was a couple pairs of shoes a year. Like a professional athlete being able to make a living doing running is an evolution that's just happened in the last 10 to 15 years. And I see what we're looking at right now is another step in this sport and as it grows. And I mean, I remember people saying, no, you can't put money in. Race directors can't earn a living doing race directing. That's your giving back to the sport. And now there are full-fledged businesses that buy races. I mean, the sport is changing, and we're just seeing we're witnessing this really significant step in evolution in our sport.
Great comment. And then there are a lot of other great comments out there. We imagine that as many people that are listening, they'll want to voice their opinion. And you can do that at community.ultrasignup.com, and a chance to further the discussion. We're going to be hanging out there and monitoring that and weighing in a bit. As we talk through this and we think about trail running and how much we do love it, we all love it, and that's why we're here. Michelle started out on a trail and then became a race director and then became now behind this. We've got to remember that most of the miles that we put in are on the trail, just making ourselves better runners and making friends, hanging out as a community. That's really what it's really all about. That's the core of what we do. And whether it ends up in a race locally or somewhere else that's on a global stage, together we all do the same thing. We just run and we just love it, and we confront the same hardships. We bonk, we get thirsty, we don't have enough calories, we end up with a blister that we're learning how to deal with. That's trail running. And we boil it all down, we use a big filter. What pops out? All these things we all share. And whether it's the podium runner, like some of the guests that we have on here, or a couple of hacks, like, you know, or hosting this podcast, we all get blisters, we all bunk, we all have problems, and we share in that. And that's what makes the great community. And we really appreciate, Michelle, you coming on and taking some hard questions. You had a bunch of people directing questions to you, total respect for that. And thank you so much. And I feel you did a fantastic job. You didn't have to defend yourself. You were just out to have a discussion. And we appreciate you having the courage to do that.
Thank you very much. And thank you for listening me with my French accent and my so not good English. But thank you very much for this this discussion. It was very interesting, and I enjoyed a lot to talk with all of you.
If you could stay on to figure out how we can get into UTMB, it would be fantastic.
Hey, and as Don mentioned, hey, don't forget, this is just a kickoff discussion. You know, grab your trail pals, go out for a run this weekend, and maybe have a discussion about community, about your values as a trail runner. And don't forget to go to the Ultra Sign Up community that just started. It's a dialogue where we're going to be monitoring. That's community.ultrasignup.com. And then click on the Trail Runner Nation link, and you're in the discussion. If you have some points that you want to make, some observations, some questions, we'll be hopefully monitoring that. And you'll be monitoring that, right, Don?
Yeah, I'll do it. I thank Michelle, but I also want to thank Chrissy, Brian, Hillary, and Adam. You guys were fantastic. Thanks for being a co-host on this. And in fact, I'm a little bit worried about my job at this point because you guys are so strong. So go out and run.
Mas.
We want to give special thanks to our business Patreon member, Doug Crumley, with Ameriprise.
Think of Doug as your pacer or crew for your finances, because he will take care of you.
You can find him at Doug Crumley Jr., DougCrumleyJr.com.